Today's daf is Masechet Shavuot. We're in the first parak, Shavuot Shtayim Shein Arva, and the daf is Daf Vov. And we're holding at the top third of the daf, Machvarta Matnitin, Delok Rabbi Akiva. We're going to be going into some detail of Rabbi Akiva today. So let us briefly review what it is that we've been talking about over the past day. The Mishnah, our Mishnah here, quoted four different examples of Shtayim Shein Arva. One of those examples was the din of Marot Negaim Shnayim Shein Arba. The other two, which we had discussed previously, was the question of whether the din of Shvua Shnayim Shein Arba or Yediyot HaTumah Shnayim Shein Arba was going to leave Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael. And we ended up with sort of a compromise solution that was Rabbi, who partially held of the Mishnah as is, and partially was Nasiv Lo. But then we got into the question of Marot Negaim. Is Marot Negaim consistent with Rabbi Akiva's Shita? Rabbi Akiva's Shita is, the Gemara at least assumed yesterday, Rabbi Akiva's Shita is that the Marot Negaim are only combinable if they're adjacent shades of gray. If they're not adjacent shades of gray, then they're not really combinable. Now, our Mishnah lists, instead of simply listing shades of gray, our Mishnah actually lists the two sets. So it's instead of saying Shtayim Shein Arba, it says also Beheret Azak Yeshaleg and Shniyala. Se'et is Ketzer Melavan and Shniyala, which means that the Mishnah is constructed in such a way that it's insisting that we need to know about an Av and a Tolada. Now that seems to mean that each Av is mitztaref with its own tolada, and that it's not a question of shades of gray, because of that by definition, the way that the Mishnah is aligned, there is four shades of gray, but that the families are 1 and 3 and 2 and 4. So for Rabbi Akiva, hold zu l'mala mizu, that's a completely different construct. See, even though the first part of the Mishnah that says marot negaim shnayim shein arba may be true, but the next part that says Baharat is Azak Shalak Shniala and Sa'id is Kitsemalavan and Shniala would not work out well according to Rabbi Akiva, because according to Rabbi Akiva you end up with an impossible problem, which is that there's no way of taking the number 3 and connecting it to anything. Because if you try to connect the number 3 to the din of Baharet, so then it's two steps away. It shouldn't connect. If you attempt to connect it now to number 2, it's a different family, so it shouldn't be able to connect. That was the question that we had, and we ended up because of that saying that despite the fact that Mar'en number 4, which is Kekrum Beitzah, also theoretically should have the same problem, that doesn't really create a problem, because the Torah specifically adds the sapachat to the se'et from any level, which means that the lowest level, number 4, which is kikrum beitzah, is actually part, at least in terms of tzitzarfut, of the same family of the se'et, and so is the one which we said before was really the family of the Baharat, which is the Sidah Echal. So therefore, we have 4 capable of mixing with both 3 and 2, and 1 and 2 are givens, because after all, the Torah specifically talks about the Tzitzarfut of the Baharat and the Seid. So I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva. It's okay to have Tziruf of everything. And not everything with everything, but there's not a single case that doesn't have zero. But not the way our Mishnah is constructed that forces it into the mold of an Av and a Tolada. Now, there's an important machlokas over here, which is a question of how it is to understand the details of the Gemara. Doesn't really change anything in terms of the outcome. And that is, the way that we explain it is essentially the way Tosus understands it. That even Alibet Rabbi Akiva, there are still families. The families of Baharat and the families of Se'et. The family of Baharat, which indeed includes Mar'en number 3, which is the Sidei Echal. The family of Se'et, which is Shemar Lovan, which indeed includes Mar'en number 4, which is the Krum Beitzah. And the only thing is that the way in which the Torah specifically puts the sapachat next to the sa'it instead of next to what you would have thought, which is the baharat, because of that we view that it's possible for either of the two lower level marot, meaning the sapachot, which are the shniot lehem in the lashon of the Mishnah, to be mitztaref with sa'it. Rashi actually takes the Gemara very literally and views the se'et, at least Tosfos assumes that Rashi takes a little, and views the se'et as being the model for all three marot, such that the Baharat does not have a sapachat at all. There's really only a sapachat for se'et. In which case, we have to understand that even though the first part of the Mishnah we have no problem with, going a libet Rabbi Akiva, clearly, as we're going to see today, and Rashi himself has to agree to that. The first part of the Mishnah is Marot Negaim Shnayim Shein Arba, which if you hold there are no two families, is a very, very strange way to create the Mishnah. So it must be, and Tosfos has this problem with Rashi, this is what Rashi is doing. Why is the Shnayim Shein Arba meaningful in any event? Who's to say that there is Shnayim Yivin Shein Arba? If Lamaisa Bahara doesn't have any kind of sapachat, how do you know that Seit has two sapachot? This is a problem. So as Rashi clearly understands that the Torah definitely has created families. The only thing is that it then tells you what those maros are families of in terms of sets. They're part of the set of say. But in terms of the ribui, the fact that there are two major families of Beheret and Seit is a gilui that Seit should have two families as well. Okay, it's a little bit pushy, and we'll see what Rashi has to do in the Gemara. He has to change the meaning of the Gemara also to be discussing things, not only but Rabbi Akiva. And according to Tosfos, things fit in much better. There's also a completely different approach, and we'll see why there's this approach when we get to the Gemara, which is the Ramban's approach, according to which this is not a shade of gray issue at all. It's two families, really two families, so that the white that we're talking about is a different hued white. And then you talk about shades of gray within each family, but it's not a simple grayscale the way Rashi and Tosfos are learning.
Is that Ramban and Torah?
No, here.
What does that mean? Rashi's going from gray.
Everybody, Rashi and Tosfos is going from white. He says that there's a different type of white that we're also talking about. And we'll see why he has to say that today. Okay, now that's how we learned. Yesterday it was because of this, that there was no way to make things work out, Aliba de Rabbi Akiva. The question is, where does the Gemara get the idea, initially, that Rabbi Akiva indeed holds that the tziruf of these marot is all in order of a grayscale, one next to the other? Where did that come from? So that's what the Gemara wants to go in today. Asks the Gemara now, where in the world did we ever find out that there is such a thing as Zulam Alamizu in Rabbi Akiva? Is it from Ilema Mihadatanya? Amar Rabbi Yossi. Sha'al Yoshua. Panosha Rabbi Akiva mi Rabbi Akiva. Yoshua, Rabbi Akiva's son, and there's a whole discussion over here in a few places in Shas, between Rashi and Tosfos as to whether Rabbi Yoshua, the son of Rabbi Akiva, is really Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha, because Rabbi Akiva was called the Kireach, which was like Kireach Hazeh. This is Rashi's assertion. Tosfos does not think that that's a very machlokid way to refer to Rabbi Akiva as a matter of course. Of course, this all relates back to Korach and to the whole question of the relationship of heir to leadership, which is a whole other issue, and is also part of the difference of how Rashi's appreciated the Korcha. But in any event, some Rishonim hold, this is Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. That's asking Rabbi Akiva, and some say it's not. But Rabbi Akiva was asked by his son, why does it say in the Mishnah, Marot Negaim Shnayim Shein Arba? Now, according to Rashi, you would have thought that the question over here would make a lot of sense, Aliba the sheet of Rabbi Akiva, because there's no such thing as Shnayim Shein Arba. Since the way Rashi understands Rabbi Akiva, Baharat does not have a secondary Baharat. Sa'it has two sapachats, and Baharat has none, so that the whole structure of Shnayim Shein Arba is a ridiculous structure. according to Rabbi Akiva. But Rashi accepts that structure, even Aliba to Rabbi Akiva, which is part of Tosfos' problem with Rashi. Now, you'll notice that Rabbi Akiva himself seems to suspect that his son is asking him that question. So he says to him, well, what would you suggest it say? In other words, what exactly is your problem with? So he says, well, he says, Imlav Mayom Ruud, if it wouldn't say that, what would it say? This is a nice insight into a conversation of father and son. You have a question for what are your alternatives? Then we'll discuss the question. So his son says, look, it could have just said, and after all, you are always supposed to use the minimum number of words to convey the maximum information density. That's the klal, which is a chiyuv in Hilchos Talmud Torah, especially if you're writing a mishnah. So therefore, all you really needed to say was, every layer of gray from krum beitza and up is tameh. That's all you needed to say. And how would I have known anything like what Rabbi Akiva holds if I would have said that? Well, because the krum beitza lamala, we'll see, automatically gives you the four marot. Now, his first response is to say, well, that still teaches you something. You wouldn't know anything about Tzirov. So if you say that you have two families, then you're teaching Tzirov. Lomar shemitztarfim ze im ze. Now, again, mitztarfim ze im ze, does that work out according to the way in which Rabbi Rashi understands Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah? That they're mitztarf ze im ze, because now I'm telling you that each one has this particular order. I mean, we still don't know that means that Rabbi Akiva holds zu lamala mizu. Notice it could certainly mean, so far, that Rabbi Akiva agrees to the Seder of the Chachamim. Now his son responds to him, and he says, well, you could still just say those words. You could say, anything brighter than krum beit sava lamala is tameh, and it's mitztarev ze im ze. Now, obviously, you have to say mitztarev, as Tosfos points out, l'samuch ze. Because otherwise it just sounds like they're all being mitztarev. Okay, so you could have said each one would be mitztarev to the other. Now, if that is the statement that he asks Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva hears from him that would be an alternative, you'll notice that something is terribly missing, because he doesn't mention that there need to be two sets. He only mentions one set. The information he's given doesn't give you anything about any sets, right? Okay. So Rabbi Akiva, so that means that Rabbi Akiva clearly doesn't hold that these sets are important. Shnayim Shein Arba is only a formulation to fit with the structure of Shnayim Shein Arba. It's not that I'm limited to zero from Shnayim Shein Arba. So the only answer that Rabbi Akiva said to him was, the reason that the Mishnah puts it like that is because it's necessary for someone who is going to diagnose the Negoyim to know precisely what he's talking about. And if he doesn't know precisely what he's talking about, he's not considered to be expert enough to be able to make a diagnosis. So even though it turns out that he's right, but since he can't define to you four stages, so he's not considered to be ro'i to say if it's tamei or not. So there needs to be an expert in Negoyim, and only that expert can be the one to pronounce the nega to be tamei. This doesn't mean exactly what it seems to mean, because the fact is the Kohen doesn't personally need to be a Baki. A Baki can tell the Kohen that this is what it is, but the point is the person who's making that diagnosis has to be able to distinguish between them and name them. Now, you'll notice, otherwise, Eino Roe Et HaNegayim. Now, you'll notice, says the Gemara, that Rabbi Akiva's son did not ask Rabbi Akiva, why didn't the Mishnah simply say, from Sid Heichal and up as well? Because it's not enough to say Krum Beit Zah. You should have said both things. If there are sets, and you're limited in Tziruf in the set, so wouldn't you also have to say that Krum Beit Zah v'lamala and Sid Heichal milamala? So you'll say, well, what? How would I know there was a set if I did that? I'll tell you very much how I would know. I can easily figure out, given that information, that there are two starting points going up. Okay. Once I know that, I understand that we're talking about the four top shades on a grayscale, because we've discussed two of them, and now I know there are two above, one above each of them. It's going to be obvious to me that if I'm talking about two sets, then I'm going to give number three to number one and number four to number two. Because otherwise, if I try to do it any other way, I won't be able to be mitzarif one member of the set with the next, because I've already made it clear that it's only mitzarif with the one next to it. Therefore, I'm going to have maximum information density, and I'll know everything that the Mishnah says, plus Rabbi Akiva's Yesod. Since he doesn't bother mentioning anything about Sid Heichal, all he says is start from the bottom and point out that you can go up and be mitzarif each one next to the other one. Then obviously, what he understood from his own father was, and his father's only explanation for why not was in order to make the names clear, is that exactly what we said. If you start from Krum Beitza, so then you could just go up and be mitzarif each thing with the one next to it, and there's no problem. Now, that would lead you to question, how can I be mitzarif now, the three and four, since they come from two different sets, and I'd have to come to the conclusion, which the Gemara did just here. That, well, it must be, according to Rabbi Akiva, that Seith is mitzarif with both of the now secondary, of the Shniot. So I would know everything. And Rabbi Akiva accepts this from him. So therefore, it's clear that it must be Rabbi Akiva holds Zulam Alamizu without any further ado about the sets. Why does it mention Shnayim Shein Arba? Well, it's a logistical way of forcing a coin to be Baki Ben. Give me the names of the Shnayim Shein Arba. Okay. Says the Gemara, well, I mean, so to see that inside. V'ilu b'sidechal v'lamalo lo ka'amah. Now, he never says anything about Sidechal, in addition to Krum Beitza, of course, not in place of. Now, Mirolo Amarle, since he didn't say anything about Sidechal, Shema Amina, it's clear, the Shmi Alele Rabbi Akiva, his son, had heard Rabbi Akiva teach that actually, Kulul Bahadi Se'et Mitztarfim, that anything will be combinable with Se'et, because otherwise, the information he's giving you is incomplete. Says, well, I mean, you expect him necessarily, we're going to record in the Braita a question that may have had two parts where one would suffice. If it never occurred to anybody that it's Zulam Alamizu, so then obviously, what is sunset? Start from here and start from there. I mean, the fact that we don't mention the two starts isn't important. He just needs to tell him start from somewhere. That's all. So he starts at the bottom. And maybe that is what he said. How can you be sure from this braita that that is actually what he said? Elamid Rabbi Hanina, I'll tell you. Take a look at Rabbi Hanina. Rabbi Hanina says, look, if you want to understand Rabbi Akiva in order, then what you need to do is, you take, Lama Davar Domer, take four cups of milk. In one of them, you drop two drops of blood. In one of them, Achad Nafladatoch Arbatipin Sheldan. The next one has double that. Four drops of blood mixed with the white of the milk. Echad nafluta tocha shumona. The next one has double that, which is eight. And now we get to an interesting machlokas. Echad nafluta tocha shteim esrei tipin, v'armila sheish esrei tipin. So now here the question is whether this is actually a progression that doubles in order to be able to maintain the visual distinction between the four levels of grade, or whether there is a point at which the objective addition of that amount of additional material is already discernible, and it's not scaled. In other words, the retina is not necessarily scaled in its ability to distinguish between different levels of grade once it's outside of the strongly white area. Fine, an interesting machloket. But in any event, we see from here that we do not discuss sets at all. We simply go from one to the next. If we go from one to the next, then it must be that according to Rabbi Akiva, there's no issue of sets. Now, what bothers the Ramban about this is that nobody was talking about tziruf here. The whole issue of Rabbi Akiva was only tziruf. So why in the world does the Gemara think that you could derive from here the din of tziruf? All he's telling you is the grayscale of the different colors. So it seems to be unrelated to the question. It's because of that that the Ramban says that I'm forced to conclude that the very fact that we're talking about no changes in the white and only changes in the mixed color in the white is an indication that it's going not Aliva to Tanakama, because the Tanakama sets were different whites, not different grays only. So that's an entirely different approach. Obviously, Rashi Tosfos are taking this as being a given, that just as we know, then anybody who would be giving you this description would be giving you a description, taking into consideration the end of Kula Mitztarf. Now, says the Gemara, so let's just read it, finish reading it. Shkula Marot, lo venein, elash zelam ala bezev, zelam ala bezev. Says the Gemara, now, the truth is, I'm sure it's been bothering you, what in the heck does blood have to do with anything? Okay? And the reason that this has been bothering you is because the Gemara slipped one on us. The Torah has two completely different sections to the Dinim of Negayim. One is the Baharet and so on. And then comes a completely different parsha that talks about Adam Dam. So you can have a Baharet Adam Damet. That's a completely different Mar'eh. That is a Mar'eh that is indeed a bloody white. So that what we're assuming is that the whites are the same. The only difference is that there's an admixture of reddish color as opposed to simply dark color, which would be gray. Which now the Gemara questions. How do you know that that's true? Maybe the Negayim, which are Adam Damet, are not simply adaptations of the white Nega. They're a different scaled Nega, which indeed is four Marot, one beneath the other, without any sets. How do you know to necessarily extrapolate from the way that we describe Rabbi Akiva Shita about a Nega Adam Dam, which is called a Patuch, because it's mixed with other materials, as opposed to a Chaluk, just like in Kashrus, Chalak, means absolutely smooth, no admixtures, pure white and black, meaning gray, without any coloration. So it says the Gemara inside then, Eimer de Shabbat Leila Rabbi Akiva bepatuch. The only way that this makes any sense, of course, is referring to Rabbi Akiva Shita when it comes to the Nega Adam Dam. But where do you see Bechaluk? How do you know in a straight-out Nega without any blood? Mishamatai? Where did you see that necessarily the same structure holds when it comes to the Chaluk? Vechite, man, maybe you'll say, well, isn't it just reasonable? I mean, obviously, if if he heard this from Rabbi Akiva in Patuch, it's only reasonable that we don't have a completely different structure in Chaluk. You're assuming that. I got news for you. Whoever said that that's true about the Patuch? This seems to be what Rabbi Hanina claims. The problem is that Mishnah doesn't seem to say that, because even Bipatuch Gufe, Mishamatle, is that true about Adam Dam? Aliba, the Rabbi Akiva and the Mishnah, should say Vatnan, because it's a Farish Mishnah. No, Tnan, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Adam Dam, Shebezeh, Veshebezeh, Ki Yain Hamazug B'mayim, Ela Shebal Heret Azakishele, Vishel Sid Dea Himena. Now, so Rabbi Akiva here is interestingly enough, we're cutting in here in the middle of a Mishnah, which is going to complicate matters in a moment, as we'll see when we talk about Tosfos. But if we take the Mishnah now, these words outside of the context of any Mishnah, then what Rabbi Akiva would be saying is, Adam Dam Shebezeh V'Shebezeh, this is the way Rashi understands it. Whenever you use the words, this one or that one, you always go in order, meaning Adam Dam in Mar'e 1 or 2 is actually the same. It's always Kiyayin HaMazug B'mayim. So what we're talking about over here, the first and second Ma'amar, you would take it out of the context of the white, okay? Let's just take a look at what we're looking at. If you take a look at the red, mix the red with water. Let's not talk about the white part. Let's talk about only the red part. So if you talk about the red part, we would mix down wine into water. And there's no differences in the question of the red. The only difference would be in the question of the white. And therefore, the difference would be that the Baharet is Aza Kishale, so that where you're talking about the mixture, you're mixing it in a reddish white that is now very bright. And shall sit there, Nimena. then now Shalsid, of course, is a problem because Shalsid is not number two. And yet he's saying, and the secondary mara to that, which is Sid, is less. Of course, Sid belongs, according to the way we understood it, not in the second position, it's in the third position, and worse, it's part of Se'et and not Baharat. So why in the world does he say this? If you're right, says the Gemara, V'im Ita, if you would be right that the correct construct of the Mishnah, according to Rabbi Akiva, would be to go from Sheleg to Se'et, which is Tzemer, then it should have said Ela Shel Tzemer De'a Himena, right? Now, the problem, gentlemen, is that, no, that's not right. And it's not right for a very simple reason. It's not right because the response that Rabbi Akiva had here was to the first part of the Mishnah of Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael talks about specifically the Se'et and the Baharat. And the distinctions that he makes is mixing the wine into different things. So that is what he talks about, is that if you have the patuch that you're talking about in Sheleg, which is Baharat Gesheleg, that would be the equivalent of wine mixed with the Sheleg. Then he talks about the patuch shebesid would be wine mixed with milk. And it's Rabbi Akiva who's saying, forget about mixing in different materials. Use the same white that you had in the mar'eh. And obviously he's going to respond to the order of Rabbi Yishmael. So what does it say? What is this bother? What else is it supposed to say? He's immediately responding to what was said before. So Tosis understands that the next words, which say, Ein Hachinami, means Ein Hachinami, and it should say Kidetanya. In other words, he was not saying Sid specifically. He was going back as Kidetanya, as the Tanakhama had said it, meaning Rabbi Yishmael. Or perhaps Rabbi Natan Omer, that nobody said that. And when all that Rabbi Akiva said was Sid Deyaimena, which was where Rabbi Yishmael too possibly had said, and that we had the gears wrong in the Mishnah. But in any event, it can't be as simple as it appears. Okay, but in any event, so the Machlokas Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva is not all that important to us. We'll use different materials, or we talk about the different ways in which it looks. The important thing is that we manage to work it out, that Rabbi Akiva would agree in the patuch that it's in order of the four mar'ot, in which case we can assume that the same thing is true about a chaluk, that it's the order of the four mar'ot, in which case we could take Rabbi Yoshua, who asked the question to Rabbi Akiva at face value, exactly as it's written, and we are ending up with understanding Rabbi Akiva the way we did in our Mishnah, and we're coming out with it's better to say the Mishnah is Shelo Alibid Rabbi Akiva. Says the Gemara, Umi Nolan de Baharat Azai. Getting back, just interesting. I mean, if you say we're starting off with Baharat Azai Kishele, how do we know that a Baharat is meant to be the brightest? Omar Abai, Omar Kra, V'im Baharat Livana Hi. What does it mean, he? To tell me the only one that I would call pure white is the Baharat. Say, he, Livana. V'ein Acheret Livana. Tanurabona, the Baharat is the deepest white. Baharat Amuka. V'chein hu omer umar eha amok mina'or. Which we understand that amok mina'or does not mean that there's transparent skin above it and it appears to be under the surface. We understand it to simply be a description of the interrelationship of a bright spot against a back spot, so that when you're black spot, dark spot. So when you're looking at it, it appears to be deeper. So the more the contrast, the more I see it as coming from within, as opposed to the surface where I see the black. In the sense, not literally, but the same way that you would see a bright spot looking deeper than the shade around it. The lashon of se'et is higher. Se'et means high. So ein se'et ela gavoha. V'chenu amra kol ha'arim haramim v'kol ha'givaot ha'nisot. So a giv'ah, hill, is held up higher, in which case, by definition, it's not as low as the Baharat. So the two cases that we're seeing, forget about the he. This is the Amukkah. This is higher than the Amukkah. Why it would be bright white without any level of white above it? Now, sapachat. Ah, the sapachat by definition means in sapachat ela tvela. Tvela means that it's secondary. And we see that that's what it means. V'cheinu omer, v'amar sefacheni na. So over there, the curse on Eli's house. So it says over there, Shmuel tells him that what the Nevi'ut said about his children is that they will just be begging to be allowed to be part of the other Batei Kuhuna. So Svacheni na lachatakunot lechol pat lechem. I'm starving. Let me add on myself because I no longer have the rights to take on my own. So that's sapachat. So then that would be the case over here. We have therefore a sapachat to the marot that we just said. Okay, that's l'se'et v'l'tapachat, l'sapachat. How do we know there's a tfeila to the Baharat? Now, according to Rashi, this makes no sense. Because according to Rashi, Eli ben Rabbi Akiva, there is no tfeila to the Baharat. So Rashi has to understand this Gemara as not going Eli ben Rabbi Akiva. So we're asking tfeila to the Baharat l'rabbonim. That's great. So then why assume that there is such a thing Eli ben Rabbi Akiva? Where do we get the fourth Mara from? This is Tosfos' problem with Rashi. So where do we know there's a tefillah to the Baharat? Amar Rabbi Zera, well, it's because it says the word Levana b'se'et, and it says the word Levana by Baharat. So if the Levana Amura b'se'et includes two levels, Yeshla tefillah, the Levana Amura b'Baharat, Yeshla tefillah. Whereas in the Braita it says, no, it's much more fundamental than that. Right. According to this, you have to come onto a limud. You don't need to come onto a limud because what it says is l'se'et v'l'sapachat v'l'baharet. So it puts the baharet, the sapachat, between the se'et and the baharet. And because of that, the Torah is telling me there must be one for each. So he tielak atuv l'sapachat bein se'et l'baharet lomar lacha kishen shetvela l'se'et. So you should know that both of them have a second order white attached to them. Se'et is ketzemer lavana. When you say tzemer lavana, I mean, wool doesn't look all that white to me. What's ketzemer lavan? Omer of Bibi, Omer of Asi, we are not talking about the white wool that you would buy. We're talking about the tzemer naki ben yomo shemechabnim bo lemilat, where you have
bleached wool.
No. This is natural wool that has never been exposed to the elements. So what you do is immediately when the lamb is born, you take a leather jacket and you close the wool up with a leather jacket that never is removed so that the wool is never exposed to the outside at all. And that is used only for Kli Milat, which is the highest quality wool. It's an island off of Greece. They've used that all over the world. This is what they call Kli Milat in Hebrew.
They still do this?
Yeah, they still do this.
The leather,
it has buttons on it. It's movable. It grows. The leather also grows. Omer Rabbi Chanina, Mashal de Rabbanan, Lamad Davar Domeh. Now the Rabbanan who argue with Rabbi Akiva and insist that these things are only mitsuraf according to the family, in accordance to the set that they expressed in the Mishnah, it would be if you would have two kings and you would have two dukes, let's say, Trey Ifrachi. So now you would have one king, Malko Shalzeh Lamalami Malko Shalzeh. You have one more powerful king above that king, and then you would have the duke of the second king, Ifarcho Shalzeh Lamalami Ifrachho Shalzeh. No, says the Gemara, that's ridiculous. That's the wrong metaphor. If you have the two kings, then you're saying that it would be Mitzurif in that order. That's if you're trying to explain the Rabbonin, then what you have to say is Malko Shalzeh Lamalami Ifrache Denafshe. Because you're talking about Tziruf. It's only in Tziruf that there's a Machlokas. It's not a Machlokas. I mean, you started off explaining the Rabbonin, then you just went on to explain the Mishnah, which is true according to anybody. So it's irrelevant. What you needed to say is that King A has his own duke and King B has his own duke, despite the fact that the order is king, king, duke, duke. So it's king and duke, king and duke. That's what you should have said. Ravada bar Abba Omer. Well, it's like, you know, around these parts, you have a Malka, an Al-Kapta, an Arupila, and a Resh Galuta. That order is, again, Zelam Alam Yisrael. Sorry. Malka, Rupila, Al-Kapta, Resh Galuta is what I meant. Rava Amar, look, if you're talking about families, you could have Shvor Malka, who's a local king in terms of Persia, and then you could have Caesar, the Kesar. Amar of Papla Rava, wait a second, you say Shvor Malka first. Which one is considered to be the one that you're referring to over here as the Baharat? Haiminayo Adif. Omale, what the heck? This guy lives somewhere out in Arkansas. B'chur Sheikachel? Where does this guy live? He's eating out there in the forest? Pokhazitiva, the man Sagi Bahama. You never look at a newspaper, for God's sake. You don't know whose coinage is acceptable all over the world. Dechteva Tochal Kol Arab, this is the Remez in Daniel, that last Chaya that is Rome. Has he eaten up the entire earth? Utadusheno to the Kenan, it sits there grinding away at the planet. Man, that's only Rome. The Orach has an interesting shot in which he says, B'chur Sheik Ochale, that's all you need is they should hear that question. Because what they do when you speak wrongly about them is they deafen you by putting this thing in your ear that ultimately eats out your skull. So therefore I'll give you a remez in the posse, but you gotta figure out. I didn't say it. Exactly. You're gonna get in trouble. You know, what kind of question are you asking? In other words, since Lamaisa he was asking, why did you say the Persians before the Romans? That's what confused him. He knew. That's what he should have been. He understood that because he put it in the wrong order that something was wrong. So what he was asking was, why did you put it in the wrong order? To which we said, you're an idiot. Why did we put it in the wrong order? You want to get killed? This is the pasuk. Figure it out yourself. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. And that, what is that tocho? Kolara v'te dushenu v'te dekena. Rabbi Yochanan explained that is a reference to Romi, Chayevet, the evil Rome. I mean, the pashas of Tiva is matbeya. There are some who learn that her teva and her culture, but there's no need to do that. Ravina Amar? Ravina says, I don't know, what's all of this? I mean, obviously, there are all types of Kabbalistic relationships of the Marot Negoyim to the fundamental Malchias on earth, which is why we're trying to do it. The Arba Malchias, connected to Arba Nezikin, connected to the Arba Nigate Saraz, and so on. So, but in terms of the colors, says Ravina, look, it's very simple. You take a Glima de Amar Veshachte and a Sadina de Kitne Veshachte. So you start off now with a coat that is pure wool, and then you take a look at that coat after it's been worn for a year. And then you see those two colors. And you can also start off with a linen sheet and look at that sheet after it's worn for a year. Then you will get the two families, and you'll get the relationship of the gray to the original white in two families. And it will go in the order of the Amar and the Kitna, and then the Shachke of the Amar and the Shachke of the Sadina. So it's very easy to see that white.
So I'm confused.
And if not, what should it say? Okay, so then but note that Rabbi Yeshua never asked him about Misidei Chavalamala Loka Omar. Now, if he never mentioned it, Midol Omar Leshma Amina, Tishmiel El Rabbi Akiva, who holds that it's irrelevant, and he holds Kulul Adi Seid Mitzarfim anyway. Well, maybe he did. I mean, maybe he said Seid Vatoladata, Beret Vatoladata. Elam Rabbi Chanina. Omar Rabbi Chanina, Mashal de Rabbi Akiva, Lamar Davar Dome, Me Arba'a Kosot Shel Chalav, Echad Naflo Letocho Shtei Tipin Shel Dam, אחד נפלו לתוכו ארבעה טיפים של דם, אחד נפלו לתוכו שמונה, ואחד נפלו לתוכו 12, or some say 16 טיפים, in which case they're all מראות לבן, Now, wait a minute. Emet Hashemet la Rabbi Akiva, but all that is talking about a patuch. How about a chaluk mishvi alei? V'chitev ki echa t'shamat alei v'patuch hochi shamat alei v'chaluk. Even the patuch gufi, I don't think it's true. Because the Mishnah says, it's on Rabbi Akiva Omer, Adam dam shebezeh v'shebezeh is the same. It's kiyayin amazug v'mayin. The only difference is the coloration of the white, so that the baharat is azak shelek, and the seed is deyayimena. Whereas Rabbi Yishmael was comparing shelek with cholov and all kinds of complications. In ita, it should say shel tsemer deyayimena, because that's the second in line. Ami boiling? Ami enachinami. V'atani Rabbi Natan omer. Lo shamar Rabbi Akiva shel seed deyayimena, ela shel tsemer deyayimena. Uminolan the baharat azak. It means not regular tzemer levan. It's tzemer naki ben yomo shemechabnim bo lemilat. Omer Rabbi Chanina mashal de rabbanan lemar davar dome. Letrei malchi letrei ifarchi. Malko shozeh lemala mi malko shozeh v'ifrachu shozeh lemala mi ifrachu shozeh. Hayzeh lemala mi zeh v'zeh lemala mi zehu. That's not the Rabbanan. Malko shozeh lemala mi ifrachu de nafshe. Malko shozeh lemala mi ifrachu de nafshe. Revada bar Avomer, gom malka al kapta rupila resh galuta. That's also zeh lemala mi zehu. Ke'elo, kegon malka v'rupila papta and resh galuta. Rava amar, kegon shvor malka v'kesar. Omer of Papa Rava, I mean, they are the way very Bakurshaka, like Bukati, even a man Sagi Alma. Tectiva Toko Kolara Vatidoshena Vatidakena. Omar Abiokan and Zorume Kayavet, Shetiva Ayatsava Kololam Kolo. Ravina Omar, Gonglima de Amar, Vishakake, and Sadina de Kitna Vishakake.